Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
An organization in Iowa helps prepare businesses for when disaster strikes. Let's go in-depth with Dutch Geisinger with Safeguard Iowa. Dutch, what's Safeguard Iowa?
Safeguard Iowa is a private nonprofit organization developed in 2007, and we are focuses disaster preparation, prevention, response, and recovery through the collaboration of public sector agencies and private sector businesses.
So when disaster strikes, you're somewhere behind the scenes helping where needed? Is that what happens?
Absolutely. So we have two missions. One is a blue sky mission. So day-to-day operations, we help with training, education, different businesses for business continuity, for emergency preparedness, those types of things. During disasters, you're absolutely right, we're behind the scenes. We coordinate information sharing between the public sector agencies and the private businesses. We coordinate resource location for non-traditional partners that have resources that government agencies can't find through normal channels. So we'll help locate things and make a better, more efficient, more effective response to disasters.
Well, and to have that best response, efficient response, it's best to prepare and to partner before disaster strikes.
Yeah, absolutely. We've always said that during the disaster is not time to be shaking hands and meeting people for the first time. So development of the plans is key to a successful disaster response. So that's one of the things that we work on. Those business continuity plans that I talked about is developing those relationships now and understanding the plans of your partners so that you can better react to those things.
Okay, and you were here just meeting with the local emergency planning committee. What was the purpose of the meeting? And that's a local public-private business partnership within the county. Why were you here to speak with them?
I wanted to give them a better understanding about what Safeguard Iowa is. And we have a much more far-reaching arm, I guess, than maybe the locals would. So we've got a lot of partners right now that are accessible for local agencies during disasters. And what I mean by that is we've got a lot of larger corporations that have resources that you guys might not have here locally. So we want to have everybody be a member of Safeguard Iowa so that we can have a statewide response and make Iowa better prepared for disasters across the board.
You gave us some statistics on business failure after a tragedy, a disaster. Tell us about that. Some of those were pretty stunning to me.
Yeah, and those are taken from ready.gov. That's a government agency through FEMA. But 60% of businesses fail within the first 3 years if they've been impacted by a disaster. 25% never open their doors again if they're impacted by disaster. That's pretty devastating since one in three businesses in the United States actually has a disaster at some point during their operation.
And this can be big businesses or small businesses. I suspect the larger businesses, like we just had the tornado strike Vermeer, I don't think anybody thinks for a minute that Vermeer is going to go under. But the tornadoes that hit that same day in Marshalltown or yeah, Bondurant, there's probably businesses that are never going to open again.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. So big businesses are interested in Safeguard Iowa because the quicker we can get those smaller businesses back up and running, the quicker they get their customer base back. The smaller businesses, a lot of those guys have never really worked on development of a business continuity plan or an emergency action plan or anything like that. So when we talk about those things, it might be a mom and pop operation that has 2, 3, 10 employees. So that's really something that's never been their focus. They're looking at bottom line, bottom dollar. But if we can give them some helpful tips to creation of a plan where it's not so overwhelming, things that they can do on the fly now to create those partnerships, to develop a plan, to better understand their insurance policies and buy down their risk, the better off they're going to be and the more capable they're going to be to survive a disaster.
More in depth after this.
I continued my conversation with Dutch Geisinger with Safeguard Iowa.
So let's just say I own a small mom and pop business. Will you come and talk to me, or do I need to just go to the website? You can't talk to everybody that wants to talk to you, can you?
I talk to everybody that I can reach out to. We do a lot of meetings that bring in a lot of businesses in the community. So I do a lot of meetings with chambers of commerce. We try to touch as many people as we can. But if you're a mom and pop operation and I've got time to come and visit you, absolutely I will. And if I can't make it there in person, I'll meet with you on phone. But I'd love to talk to every business in Iowa.
There's a lot of reasons for us to want businesses back up quickly and to survive. I mean, just thinking about it, when the tornado struck Vermeer, I was just worried. I mean, once we knew everybody was safe, I was just worried about jobs and people wanting their paychecks. And the same thing for people that work at the store in Marshalltown or Bondurant that had damage. You know, it's not only that we want the businesses to function for our purposes, but for the people that have jobs and for commerce and industry. I mean, it's so important.
When we look at resiliency in the state, absolutely it is. You know, even the bigger corporations in Iowa count on those smaller businesses. That's their bulk customers. So every business in Iowa is important. And if you look at Small Business Administration statistics, in Iowa, businesses that have shut their doors after a couple of years because of a disaster, it's staggering. I mean, if we can help them be better prepared and more resilient at their business, it helps the entire state. It helps the economy for the entire state.
Even if, you know, you have the appropriate insurance for a business, just the downtime, you're losing your customers are establishing relationships somewhere else. Yep. I mean, it can... I guess I never thought about it, but now I understand why so many small businesses go down.
Yeah, you bet. And that's exactly some of the points that we talk about during that business continuity planning. Things, those considerations that they don't come up in day-to-day operation. You know, we're thinking about how we're going to do business that day and make some money and go home at the end of the day. But if we can help them think about those things ahead of time, think about how they're going to do those core missions, even if they have to shut their doors for a couple of days, how they can provide their customers an alternate service while they're out of business, but it gives them that that customer appreciation that they'll come back as soon as they're up and running again. Those kind of things, if we can help them develop that now, it's going to get them back on their feet that much quicker.
So when you've seen enough situations where similar businesses maybe went under or maybe, you know, ended up thriving, but you've seen other business success and failure stories for probably most kinds of businesses, and you can say, hey, here's what worked, here's what didn't work, here's what you would need to plan to do. You have that knowledge?
Yes. So internally, my background is business continuity. I worked for the federal government, the U.S. Department of Homeland Security, and that's kind of what we did with critical infrastructure in the United States. So we bring in a lot of knowledge base with our members, with our staff, that provides them those best practices that we've seen nationwide, provides them with tools that they can use to help develop those plans, templates, those kind of things that, you know, templates aren't the best thing in the world, but it gets somebody started and it makes it so it's a less scary option for them to develop those plans. So if we can provide them that baseline of what risk management looks like so they can look at threat and vulnerability and do the consequence analysis that they need to do and buy down their risk, it really puts things in perspective for them and makes it so it's not as daunting of a task.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Dutch Geisinger with Safeguard Iowa.
Now, I suspect Marshalltown is big enough to survive, but a smaller community, if you lose a third of your businesses or whatever, that town is never going to be the same.
Yeah, and even Marshalltown, you know, if they lose the businesses on Main Street, a lot of it's perception. If folks go through and the businesses downtown aren't open anymore, it kind of is a negative connotation as they go through town. So whether it's a small town or a large town, that type of devastation, it's hard to get businesses to come back in when they drive down Main Street and they see a lot of closed doors.
it's tornado season, so I'm just thinking about tornadoes, but there's flooding, there's other kinds of disasters too.
Everything under the sun, you bet. So in Iowa, we see a ton of different types of disasters. Flooding is one, flash flooding, power outages, severe storms, high winds, tornadoes. All of those things could have impacts.
Every city should be ready. How many cities have you? Most cities probably aren't ready, are they?
When you talk about city preparedness, it's a little bit different because you really, when we look at the whole community and how communities prepare and identification of those key facilities that keep their mission up and running, it's a little bit different than looking at an individual company and different than looking at a organization to organization. So one of the things that we were really trying to do is try to develop that whole community perspective on how we keep things in line and how we keep a community disaster ready. So there are some things that Safeguard Iowa does as it relates to whole community as well, that messaging, that information sharing piece, and that coordination and planning that brings all of those key companies and organizations together so they can talk through disaster response and how they work together.
How does a business become a member?
It's really easy. Visit safeguardiowa.org. There's a Become a Partner tab. Follow the simple to follow instructions there, and we'll get you on board. There's no cost.
No cost.
No cost.
You're not going to charge me $500 a year or something?
Absolutely not. Safeguard Iowa works on donations and sponsorships, and we find grants whenever possible, but it allows us to provide membership for free and provide most of our services for free as well.
Well, I'm sure there's big companies on there, but I've got just a small company. Is that an issue that I'm maybe too small and be playing with the big dogs?
Absolutely not. And one thing that we really pride ourselves on is that we bring everybody together for large-scale tabletop exercises so that, you know, the mom-and-pop shop can talk to a Mid-American Energy partner and learn from their experience and learn from their background and history and education and develop, take some of those things back that they can use and make their company safer.
Let's give people a concrete example. And in the presentation, you mentioned the flooding in Des Moines. How did you help behind the scenes with the flooding in Des Moines?
You bet. We got calls right away from the County Emergency Management Coordinator in Polk County, Iowa, and we helped them with everything from setting up emergency shelters to finding resources to bring to those shelters, food, clothing items, water, those kind of things. Throughout the flooding, we helped with bringing in our partner organizations that offered manpower to help individuals get back on their feet by bringing flooded materials out of their basements and putting them on the curb. Our partners donated everything from porta potties to dumpsters to food, water, like I said, clothing items. All of those things were just a behind-the-scenes things that we helped coordinate so that the government agencies didn't have to worry about those things, that we could take care of them for them, that our partners could actually bring things in and donate or provide at low cost, that normally they don't have those channels to do those kind of things.
And you were behind the scenes at Vermeer, too.
You bet. And Vermeer is a strong partner of ours. They are a great organization. And I got to tell you, Vermeer did a fantastic job. They've been putting their plans in place for years now, and they activated their plans, and everything went as well as it can possibly be expected when you've got a tornado going through the middle of your company. But we were able to find some resources for them. We've got calls from them for things like golf carts to help the responders that were working to get them back up and running again. So we were able to coordinate that resource for them. We actually had Vermeer donating items or volunteering to donate items to the Marshalltown response, even though they'd have been impacted.
Wow. So golf carts to go up and down the Vermeer Mile.
Yeah, you bet. Yeah. You bet. At one point, they called us looking for weather radios, and ultimately, they didn't need them, but we were able to round up weather radios that they could have used in lieu of their normal communication system just so that they could be prepared and get information more quickly.
And so while they're going through all of this, Vermeer's thinking about Marshalltown. What did they send to Marshalltown?
You know, I don't know that they actually ended up sending anything, but they were calling, offering things like debris removal equipment and the standard things. Vermeer's always been a great community leader as far as donations, and they've always been able to provide shredders and equipment like that that those communities can use. And they were willing to step up and do it again, even though they were going through their own disaster.
Any last thoughts you'd like to share with somebody listening that's thinking maybe I'll get involved? Why should they?
The greatest thing is that opportunity to learn from everybody else. And we are a very open organization that is willing to share experiences, willing to share their planning processes, the knowledge and the best practices that are out there with our membership. When you join Safeguard Iowa, you've got an opportunity, and the door is open to reach out to other members and find out what they're doing, what's effective and what's ineffective. So that type of relationship building is one of the prime examples of why we exist.
Thanks to Dutch Geisinger for contributing to the program. For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.